now that the time is so short. Have mercy on us. We pray, forgive us. We really want to repent in all localities. We want to repent. Help us strengthen our inner man. Yeah. Lord, have mercy on us. We pray that you continue to speak to us in this fellowship. Give us the fellowship of the Spirit. We want to have ears to hear the speaking of the Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. I really appreciate that the Lord continues to speak to us, because if He doesn't speak to us, we have no way to go on. I think all of the saints realize that it is not the brothers who speak, but it is the Lord who is speaking. It is the Holy Spirit that speaks to us. Yeah, in what other way can the Spirit speak to us if not through faithful brothers? Through the fellowship. Through the apostle and the prophets. The shepherds. And through good examples in the church. But we also all need a spirit of discernment, that we don't just receive everything. Yeah, we don't want to have blind guides. Like Paul said, yeah, let the prophet speak two or three. But we need to discern, because we all make mistakes. And many times we speak nonsense. It is a responsibility not only for those who speak the Word of God, but also for those who hear it. It's also your responsibility. We don't only sit in the fellowship to hear the Word, but to discern and to hear what the Spirit speaks, not only what the brothers speak. It's not that easy to follow the Lamb. Oh yeah, we follow Christ. Yeah, all Christians say that. It's not that easy. Therefore, we have to understand the whole Word. To follow the Lamb, then we also have to follow Paul and James and John, Matthew. Otherwise, how does the Spirit of the Lord preach the gospel if it's not through the brothers? Who shall preach the gospel in the Netherlands if you don't do it? We preach it, yeah, amen. And how shall the Spirit preach? So, how does Christ preach the gospel if it is not through Peter at the day of Pentecost? Who was speaking there? Is it Peter or is it the Spirit of Christ? Why does the Holy Spirit have to send Paul? So why can't the Holy Spirit? Is it not like the Holy Spirit can preach for itself? But if Paul and Barnabas if they speak nonsense, or Apollos, who in the beginning not even knew the whole gospel, only the baptism of John the Baptist, then the people didn't receive the Holy Spirit. But the Lord warned there would be so many false prophets today. Therefore, Paul said, you should prove and you should keep the good things. Yeah, you should not just believe everything without discerning. If we speak the truth, then we should not be afraid that people will prove what you're speaking. But if you speak the lie and you're not so sure that you're actually speaking the truth, then you will be afraid that people will prove what you're saying. But if we are faithful and we speak the truth, then let them look for themselves. If you actually speak the truth. Yeah. So our faith, yeah, we are not afraid to go through fire, because eventually it will become even clearer and more glorious. Isn't it like that? And that's what we have to know in Zion. The light must be so clear. The speaking of the Lord must be clear. The word of the Lord must be clear. Yeah, don't speak nonsense. Yes. Like some say, escape from new teachings. Yeah. That's like the Lord wouldn't speak new things. Yeah, you should escape from sin and the lust of the flesh. That's what you have to escape from, but not from the speaking of the Lord. You have to be obedient. Yeah, appreciate what the Lord speaks. It is your responsibility of all the saints to prove and examine and to see if the word is really the truth. Yeah, everyone can say, I'm an apostle and follow me. But we don't follow blindly. We follow the Lord. But the Lord speaks through men, yeah, through apostle and through the teachers in the church. But we have to prove if it is actually the truth. Yeah, a while ago someone said, we are not all priests. Not everyone can offer up an offering to God. And then he said, yeah, I'll show you a back door. But where is a back door in the temple? Didn't the Lord say in John 10, I am the door? And who comes through the back door is a thief. So if you don't know John chapter 10, you think, okay, what's the back door? And then the brother said, yeah, I will not tell you now. So in the temple of God, there are only main entrances. We all have to learn. The word of God is so precious, more precious than gold, more precious than silver. But you think it's only teaching. No. It is our light, our lampstand, that we know how to go on. How do we go on without the Word, without the truth? The truth will set us free. We love and appreciate and follow it. And there's a warning. Even Paul said, if the Word of God is just a teaching for you, it will kill you. The Pharisees and the scribes, they also teach the Word. But what's the outcome? What's the result? The Word is living. The Word is the Lord Himself. John said, God Himself is the Word. Or the Word is God. It is the expression of God. It has power. It brings things into being that haven't been. If you don't know the Word, what do you want to do? Then you have your own imagination about the church. And like 2 Peter said, and eventually those who don't know the Word, they will actually even change it. Because their mind is in darkness. And then they make use of the Word for their own profit. How many people turn around the Word today? Yeah, like if whenever you're saved, then you're qualified to go to heaven. And heaven for them is like a paradise where you will go later. So that's a teaching from the devil. And everyone believes it. I want to tell you, no message of man no book that is written by man is like the living Word of God. Yeah, I don't care how spiritual this brother is. It doesn't matter. His book is not a holy book. But this book here, the Bible, is the Holy Scripture. And no other person can write such a book. And therefore, we should read the Bible ourselves and receive this Word, Spirit and life. Yeah, man's word is not like God's word. Therefore, at the end of the Word of God, Psalm 19 and Psalm 119, you have to read that. And the reality is the Word of God. Therefore, the Lord said, I'm the beginning and the end. So that's His name, ABCD. So what is ABCD for you? Yeah, every letter is the Lord. He is the Word. He is the beginning and the end. the first and the last. Yeah, not you are the last one. No one of us is qualified to be the last. You're the biggest sinner. You're qualified for that. Yeah, and me too. The Lord is everything and in all things. And Paul said that in Colossians 3, verse 11. Christ is all and in all. So is Christ not everything for you? We think we know everything, but we know so little. You cannot even imagine. We know so little. Even yourself you don't know. How good do you know yourself, Martin? After so many years, maybe a little better, but not good enough. Yeah, same for me. I thought I knew myself. And every day I realized, no, I don't know myself. So then to know God, my goodness. How can I know God if I don't know myself? And then they even want to become God themselves. Yeah. So that's how we are in our fallen nature. So even if we share the word, we share a little from what we know, but there's so much more. Let us maybe quickly go to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, 8 to 15. Psalm 19, 8 to 15. I don't have the science version, but so from verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. So your heart will rejoice when you read the word. Oh, okay, now he's on mute. My computer has own thoughts. It has an own will. Like we have our own will. Now we have to repent. Also, my computer has to repent. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Yeah, so nothing is purer than the word of God. The Lord will never lie to us. Yeah, all of His words are the truth. And it will set us free, enlightening the eyes. Yeah, otherwise we are all blind. therefore we even follow blind people because we do not discern. The problem is not that we follow, but the problem is that we follow blindly. And those who say, don't follow man, why don't they tell you that? Because they want you to follow them. But we follow the living word of God. Therefore, all of us, we have to read the word with a pure heart, with a holy heart. And not with a corrupted mind. Yeah, therefore we need the renewing of our mind. Many times we misunderstand what people tell us. Didn't you misunderstand other people before? And then you're angry because you misunderstood them? Even when we speak something, then we speak so unclear that people don't understand us. And eventually we fight. Yeah, the word of God enlightens our eyes. Yeah, I want to be enlightened. But so we all have become blind, or we are born blindly. Yeah, for the worldly things, we have big eyes to see it, to see them. But for spiritual things, we are all blind. And therefore, when the Lord came to the earth, to this earth, they didn't know Him. They didn't recognize Him. He said, "Yeah, you have eyes, but you don't see. You have ears, but you don't hear." They didn't hear the spiritual voice of the Lord. They didn't see the things of God, even though it was in front of their eyes. The Lord Himself. The Lord was there, but they didn't realize Him. So what do we see? Without the Word of God, which is full of life and spirit, we don't see anything. You have the teaching, but you don't see it. And then the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. If we come to the Word of God, then our heart is so important to have the fear of the Lord. Yeah, you have to treasure the speaking of the Lord. Yeah, we speak the Word of God so loosely. Yeah, so however it comes to my mind, I speak it. But Paul said, So who speaks in me? Paul said, who speaks in me? It is Christ speaking through me. But if I don't have the fear of the Lord, but I just hear any kind of nonsense, yeah, that brother said this, the other brother said this, said that, then, yeah. Without the fear of the Lord in our hearts, then if we come to the Word like that, then no wonder there's so many weird things in our mind. So much darkness and a hardened heart. Therefore, they argued with the Lord. But the Word of God is not that we argue. That's why I don't like to argue. Yeah, maybe when I was younger, I want to convince other people. But today, no. Why? Because I respect the word of God. Yeah, if you don't listen, then okay, you don't listen. What can I do? And therefore, that's why Peter said, when you come forward to the word of God, then you, first of all, you have to lay aside all the malice, all the corruption, all the sin, the hardened heart, all the filthiness, all arguing, all the fleshly things. And then you come forward like a newborn babe to the pure milk of the Word. But if your heart is not pure and you come to the Word of God, you cannot understand anything. Even if I explain it, you cannot understand it. Then you go home and you think again, and then it will start to... You will start to doubt it again. And then you think you're right with your thinking about the Word of God. It is not so easy to deal with the Word of God. And therefore, we need to have this fear, the godly fear. The fear of the Lord is clean, praise the Lord. A pure heart is a heart that fears the Lord. If you know Him, then you will fall down to the ground. Also, the brother Daniel, he saw so much of this wonderful Lord who is so holy, and when he saw Him, he lost all of his power. He was lying there like a sick person who cannot even move. But you and I, when we read the Word of God, eventually we are even more powerful to do according to our will. That's the wrong reaction. So it has to endure forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. How can an unrighteous person read the righteous word of God? Look, these corrupted attorneys, when they read the law, it is all corrupted because the guy is corrupted. That's why they want to get rid of the constitution. If a thief reads the constitution, then everything is corrupted. Do you have faith into the attorneys today, the lawyers? They are all corrupted. They are not for the law, they are against the law. And therefore it is so important that we come to the Word of God with a pure and open heart, that the Lord would cleanse us before. So why do we keep this feast of unleavened bread? Every morning I have to tell the Lord, Lord, I purge out everything that is in my heart. That's important. The judgments of the Lord are true. And the prayer of the Lord in John is, sanctify them in the truth. And your word, the pure word, is the truth. not only the pure milk of the Word, but also pure food, solid food. What is purer than the Word itself? Yeah, you tell me. We add a lot of salt and pepper and many own thoughts into the Word of God. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yeah, than much fine gold, and sweeter also than honey and a honeycomb. So is the Word of God sweet for you, or is it bitter? At least in your mouth, it has to be sweet. Yeah, once you swallow it, it becomes bitter. And it exposes the hidden things in your heart, so it becomes bitter. But at least in your mouth, it has to be sweet. Sweeter than honey and honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. My goodness. Every day we need to be warned by this wonderful pure word. Therefore, Proverbs says, how can a young man be pure and preserve himself from sin? Yeah, by keeping the word of God in his heart. And not only a little bit, but abundantly. So, and it has to be hidden there like a treasure. Yeah, your word. I have your word in my heart, so I would not sin against you. If our heart is full of the lusts of the flesh, then of course we will also just sin. We will just do according to the lust of our flesh and according to the lust of our eyes. But if the Word is dwelling inside of us abundantly, like Paul said in Colossians, then we will stop sinning. Because the Word of God will preserve us and strengthen us and give us light. And in keeping them, and there is great reward. The law is there so we would keep it, not that we would break it. And therefore, these lawless people, they want to get rid of the constitution. They want to change the constitution. Can you imagine if the mafia changes the law, then what kind of a law it will be in the end? Oh, Lord. So how do you want to receive this reward if you don't keep the Word of God and do according to the Word of God? Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Aren't you presumptuous? Aren't we all presumptuous? The word presumptuous means you measured wrongly. You will measure according to your standard, according to your human thinking. It's always too short. A new Jerusalem, the holy city, it is measured with it is a golden measure, and it is living. So the standard is living. It is a godly standard, a golden reed. But you measure according to your fleshly measurement. And that's why everything fits when you are measuring it. Yeah, you are presumptuous. Everything is allowed. And then you have peace to do whatever you want. Also from the sin of from presumptuous sins. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Not only a few meters, because then you will come back quickly. Yeah, let them not have dominion over me. Oh, Lord. Yeah. What has dominion over you? The word of God or your presumptuousness? The presumptuous sin. And therefore, you have problems, and I have problems in our daily and personal life and in the church life because we are all presumptuous. You measure according to your standard, and I measure according to my standard, and then we argue, and then we measure each other. You measure me, and you don't like it, and I measure you, and there's so many things I don't like about you, and then how do we build up the church? Everyone has his own standard. Then how does your church look like? Then we say, yeah, we are the church. But what's the standard in the church? Is it Zion? Yeah? Do we want to build Zion? But according to which standard? Yeah. Let them not have dominion over me, then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. So if you measure everything according to your own standard, then there will be great transgressions against God. Don't we have the fear of the Lord? Today, I'm really afraid to turn around the Word of God. Yeah, didn't the Lord warn us at the very end of the Bible that we should not do that? If you take away something from the Word of God, then He will also take away your part of the Tree of Life. Yeah, isn't that serious? And therefore, we have to learn that we not only read the Word of God, but the question is, which attitude do we have? Yeah, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Oh Lord, the Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, the Holy God, my strength and my Redeemer. Then our speaking in the house of God, or wherever we are, at home, in the family life, to each other, to our wife, to our children, and the children, to the parents, it will be well-pleasing to the Lord. If you speak differently at home as you speak in the meeting, then you are a hypocrite. Oh Lord, your word is so important. And this word will sanctify us. Sanctify them through the truth. And your word is the truth. It is our standard. Do not be presumptuous. It is a big sin. And if we are presumptuous, then there will be bigger, greater transgressions. So we should be afraid of that. That's why Paul said, also like the brothers shared this morning several times, 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, we have to perfect holiness through the word and by the fear of the Lord. If you have no fear of the Word of God, you don't treasure it, you don't appreciate it, then it doesn't matter how much you read it, there will be no impact. You know how you have to drive, yeah, you know it from the law, but you still drive differently. You're not driving according to the law. That's the same thing. And that's the problem. So what's the use of the law then? We say, yeah, we are in the spirit. But then you break the law. So do you think a spiritual man breaks the law? How can he be spiritual? If he does all things which are against the law of God. So are you actually in the Spirit? So the order is so wonderful. Our God is holy. I appreciate it. The message, yes, such a pure and simple way to speak the Word of God. And everywhere it is written, we have to be holy. Also, Peter said, sanctify God in your hearts. So that's, and that is actually from Isaiah. Yeah, if you have time, then you should search in the Word of God where it mentions the word holiness. To be holy, yeah. Be holy, for I am holy. That's the book of Leviticus. It is especially for the priests. There's no priest who should not be holy. That's the main qualification of a priest. So, if someone says, not everyone can be a priest, then I have to say amen. And what's the qualification? He should know so much. No, he should be holy. So if you say, I'm not qualified, then I will say, yes, because you're not holy. But then this brother said, yeah, we are a kingdom of priests, but not all of us are priests. The others are a holy nation. That's absolute nonsense. Can you be a kingdom of priests and not a holy nation at the same time? So, and if you're a holy nation, all of us have to be holy and to be priests. So why did Paul call us the saints in the New Testament? What's the reason for that, Sam? Yeah. We call each other saints. So am I worthy to be called a saint? Am I really holy? Holy in a sense that yes, I am called. Yes, that's true. But sanctification has many meanings. It's not only like about being called and newborn in the Spirit, but it's also about our conduct. Yeah, Peter said, be holy in all your conduct. Like the Father is holy. Yeah, do you think the Father is only holy sometimes? In the heavens, there are the seraphim angels, the four living creatures. And all they say are these three words. And what is it? Holy, holy, holy. And how often did they say that? Several times without any end. only at daytime? No. Also at nighttime. There is no nighttime in heavens. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Yeah, you're like, stop it. It is wonderful. But you never say it like that, right? Yeah, we don't say that. So why do these four living creatures say that all the time? Because we men are so fallen, we are so unholy. So what we actually say daily is unholy, unholy, unholy. Yeah, you don't even have to say it. The whole creature of God has fallen. Yeah, animals, men, everything has fallen. And that's why there are these four living creatures. Because God wants to sanctify His creation. But then Satan came and corrupted us. We think we are so good, but it says there's no one who is righteous, not even one. Even after we are born in the Spirit. So why did Paul call us the saints? To remind us you have to be holy like God is holy. Like the one who called us, we also have to be holy. We say we are the church, but what kind of a church? Yeah, there is no unholy church. An unholy nation, the Lord will destroy it. Like He destroyed the people of Israel when they became so unholy. Then the Lord brought Nebuchadnezzar to destroy them. He invited Titus and all the nations to destroy them. And the Lord said to the church in Ephesus, if you leave the first love and you don't repent, then I will take away the golden lampstand. So what kind of a church is that? It's an unholy church. But you think we're still the church. So who says who the church is? It the Lord says that, and not the elders, not you and I. So what's the use if we say we are the church? And the Lord says, no, you are nothing. So who is right? Who is right? According to your measurement, you are the church. According to the golden reed, I don't know what you are. So therefore it's so good, these two wonderful words, they are so important. So I praise the Lord for the faithful brothers. It really touches my heart. I need the word. I have to hear this word. And then we can build up Zion. Yeah, we need this order. In half an hour, we cannot speak about Zion. It's impossible. But I trust in the Lord that the Lord will, through the anointing, open your eyes and show you. And especially here in the Epistle of Peter, in short words, he said everything. Yeah, we don't only need Christ as our Redeemer, but as a living stone. So precious to God, not relating to redemption. Yeah, of course we need it because we are fallen men. Otherwise, we are lost in eternity. But I also have to know Christ, who is so precious to God, for the building up of Zion, for the building up of the church, a living stone, so precious to God. So the Lord not only came to redeem us, but He came for the house of God. So what was burning in his heart, not when he saw the sinners, his heart was burning. No, but his heart was burning for the house of the living God. So what was burning in his heart was Zion. And therefore, the beginning of the gospel is not repent because you are sinners. That's not the beginning of the gospel. The beginning of the gospel is in Matthew is repent, for the kingdom of heavens is at hand. So we have to pray, Father, may your kingdom come. It's the first thing. It's not, Father, may many be redeemed, but may your name be glorified and may your kingdom come to the earth. May your will be done. And what is his will? What is in your heart? Oh, we are the church, we are the church. I want to tell you and remind you, church is not a name, it's just a gathering. So for many Christians, the church is only like a gathering on Sundays. But Zion is not only a gathering, it is the city of the great King. It's the holy mountain. Yeah, Psalm 2 already says, here is my king and here is my holy mountain, not the Pope. Not a bishop. Not an elder who proclaims he has a high position and everyone has to listen to him. So already in Psalm 2, yeah, we have to kiss the king. We have to love him. Yeah. So otherwise we will be judged. That is Zion. I have so many verses collected in the Psalms. So what can I do? You have the Bible. You can search for yourself. You don't need me, yeah, to search the Bible. You can do it yourself. Zion. The beauty. Yeah. So beautiful, the Mount Zion, the highest in the universe, on the north side. It's where the king is dwelling, the city of the great king. It is a holy mountain. And God is holy in Zion. Also in Isaiah, you should look for the verses. Yeah, Jerusalem is a holy city. Zion is a holy city. And therefore, the Lord wants a holy church without blemish, glorious. Yeah, we just say we are the church. But what kind of a church are you? Even when you say we are the local church, we are on the ground. But it is just dirt. Are we holy? Are we without blemish? Before the foundation of the world, God called us to be sons of God. Is that what it says? No, that we are holy and without blemish before Him in love. So the brothers are right. If you don't love the Lord, you cannot be holy. And if you love the Lord, then you also have to love His Word and do His Word. And then we can build up Zion. And therefore we have to know the Lord as this living stone. Not only the Redeemer, not only born in the Spirit. And that's why the Lord is so precious to God. But these Jews back then, the people of God, God said, you are a builder and we are your holy builder. Like Peter said, holy women. So we have to have holy brothers and children. And why not? Therefore, holy, 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 holy. That's why it is called the most holy place and the holy place. Yeah, because if you're outside, it's not so holy. But if you want to go in as a priest, you have to be holy and you have to go until the most holy place. Isn't it wonderful? Doesn't it tell us something? How can I, who is not that holy, just walk into the most holy place? Yeah, then I will die and you have to carry me out. Then I rather stay outside. So I can continue breathing. Without the fear to go inside before the throne of grace, No, it's not like, oh, I come as I am. My heart has to be sprinkled from all evil conscience. But if I think, oh, I have no problem, I just take the blood and just walk in there. And no, my body has to be washed with the pure water of life. Because I'm defiled. I'm not pure. That's why there is a bronze laver. And then I need the holy garments before I go in. And then I can come forward without fear. Yeah, don't only read Hebrews 4. And then Hebrews 10 only verse 19, let us go without fear. No, you have to continue reading verse 22 until 22. But you just read a little bit. There's so many things you have to take care of. So sanctification is so important. We should not only be builders. That when the Lord was there, the builders, they were not only unholy, but even evil. Yeah, like serpents. How can serpents build the temple of God? Eh? You want to build the house of God with your flesh? I have to cry. Yeah. That's why it didn't work until today. Everyone says, yeah, we are the house of God. Everyone says that. Oh, the denominations, even the Catholic Church says that. Although they are a house of the devil, but they call it the house of God. But actually, the devil is dwelling there. But they say we are the house of God. Everyone says that. Today, I don't want to even say we are Zion, but I tell the Lord, Lord, we want to become Zion. So if I say we are Zion, but the Lord says you're not, then it doesn't matter what I say. Only when the Lord comes back and says, you are Zion, yeah, when the judge comes, of the judge of the living and dead, then it will count. Yeah. He alone is the judge of those who are alive, yeah, like us today, but then are also the dead. And he will judge all of us. Therefore, Paul said, don't be so quick to judge. Judgment will come. Not what you are saying is important. Yeah, maybe today you say we're Zion, but tomorrow we've already fallen. And therefore, we have to humble ourselves before God. The builders, so the Lord came to build the real Zion, the holy temple, the spiritual house, not with dead stones. That's why the Lord is so precious as a stone. So I don't only want to experience the Lord as my life, but this life should make me a stone, become a stone, which is steadfast. Yeah, the German bread is not good enough. You cannot build a house with German bread. Yeah, American bread for sure is not good enough. But also with earthly stones, it's not good enough. Remember, we are made of dust. So it's not possible. So living stones is also not yet enough because they have to be transformed to become precious stones. And that's what Peter understood because the Lord changed his name from Simon to Peter. So Peter became a stone. So if I were Peter, I would never forget the change of my name. Life means transformation. Look, hold on, how old are you now? I'm 61, I think. I believe I'm 61. I wish I was 61. Unfortunately, I'm not. So in these 61 years, because you're a living person, you're not a dead person. Yeah, as a dead person, you cannot change anymore. But if you are living, if you're alive, you will change constantly. So life doesn't stay the same. A living stone is transforming, is changing. 40 years ago, when I met you, you were still young. Today, you don't have much hair anymore. It's okay. So we change all the time because we are living creatures. Do you think a living stone stays always the same? No change? No. Not only being like active, that's not what it means. Being alive, that's what we think. But the true life, when you look at plants, it grows and it's renewed. And the dead things are cut loose and then it keeps growing and gets fresh and living and it bears fruit. Yeah, also animals change because they are alive, they are living. If something is alive, then there will be a daily change and transformation. But look at the church. Year after year, we stay the same people. That's not life. Yeah, we change, but to the worse. There's also a transformation. The people of Israel is also being transformed, not from glory to glory, but to unholiness to unholiness. That's also a kind of transformation. In the beginning it was good, in the end it was death. But if it is spirit and life in all of us, then we'll be transformed from glory to glory. We want to enjoy Christ even more as the chief cornerstone. We build up through Christ. But Are you actually being built up in the church in Europe? I saw it always fell apart. And it gets fewer, there are fewer and fewer saints. And eventually you're not built up, but you fell apart. So it's not only Satan. So then we all fight with each other. And Satan has to do nothing anymore because we do it ourselves. And Satan has so many supporters. He doesn't have to sue you because there are so many others in the church who are already doing that. So he can take a rest because there are enough brothers and sisters who actually do that for me. Is there no sewer in Feingen? Accuser, sorry. Yeah, accuser. In Germany, in Switzerland, is there no accuser? So how does he accuse the saints? It is through you. So like the Lord needs you. But do you think Satan doesn't need you, doesn't need man? So that we cannot build Zion in such a way. Don't think it is so easy to build up Zion. We have to appreciate this wonderful chief cornerstone. Do you appreciate Christ? Do you appreciate all these living stones in the church? Or are you happy if they go away? Are you even happy that he's not around right now? So who are you? We are presumptuous. We are all so presumptuous. To build up Zion, oh Lord, if it was so easy, then it would have happened long ago. Oh Lord, and therefore we need this precious stone that is so precious for God. So if it is so precious to God, it should also be so precious to all of us. Yeah, what the price he has paid. But what kind of a price are you paying for Zion? You don't treasure it because you don't pay the price. You got everything for free. Grace. And you think you deserve it. You deserve it to be there, but the others don't. Build up. It's only possible if it comes from the chief cornerstone. We have to grow into him, and then out of him, all the parts are being built together, like Ephesians 4 said. Without the life, we cannot be built together. Yeah, we will break up. Yeah, if a person is dead, there are only bones left, right? Didn't you see that vision, yeah, we also have to see, we have to see that in Ezekiel. What is easier, to divide like dead bones, but or to be built up? And to be built up, we need this wonderful resurrection life, this breath of life, and not only once, but several times daily. We don't repent. We only say, "Ah, Lord, I'm sorry." But just to say, "Lord, I'm sorry," it's not enough. So, then we have to repent and do the right things. Otherwise, there will be no transformation in your being. You will not become holy, and we cannot experience the Spirit in us. How can we be alive if we always act against the Spirit in us? Someone says, if I'm not obedient to the written word of God, so how can I then hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, if it's written so clearly in the word of God, then I don't need any other voice. But if I don't pay attention to the Word of God, then the Holy Spirit doesn't have to speak to me anymore. Therefore, the Word and the Spirit, they have to cooperate. The Spirit inside of you, the Word in front of you, then those two, they have to cooperate. As living stones. And pay attention. This stone, if you don't pay attention to it, you will be offended eventually. So the question is, what do you want? Many were offended by the Word of God. When we talked about the priestly service, we have to be true worshippers, then many were offended. Isn't it your experience in Feigen? Isn't it what is written in the Bible? Holy priesthood? Spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices? No, we don't need it today in the New Covenant. But it is written there. What can I do? But they were offended. So, if we so don't think we know everything. No. Today I tell you, the more I know that I know nothing. And so I have to trust in Him all the time and say, "Lord, open my eyes, renew my mind. I want to know. Because the future is in front of me." Yeah, do you know what is happening tomorrow? Do you think we know how to build up Zion? Do you think it's good enough? No, because the Lord will not show you all things right away. He will show you step by step. So if we are so proud and we think we know everything already and we don't need new things. A brother even said, yeah, we only need the old soup. It's good enough. But so maybe that's good enough for you, but not for God. So if we are not open to receive new things from the Lord, things that we didn't know yet, great and unbelievable things, then Christ has nothing to say to us anymore. Did you reach His limits? Then you really know everything. Yeah, congratulations. Then you will be offended. Every time the Lord wants to show you new things, then you will say, no, that cannot be. Then you know better than God. Oh, why do we have to bring our offerings to the meeting and offer it up in Jerusalem? Yeah, because the Word is saying that. Oh, I can offer up a sacrifice in each place at all time. Yeah, who says that? Even in the shower, you can offer up an offering. Then God will pour out hot boiled water onto your head. Then this chief cornerstone will be like a trash stone. Like a millstone. Stefan. Mühlstein. Anyways, we're so presumptuous. So please excuse that I speak so strongly. But otherwise, it will not go through our head. It's the hardest part of our body. And eventually, what happens if we stumble, then we will destroy God's house. We will deceive the saints. But And we even keep God from building up His house. That's what Peter wants to tell us. Therefore, the message that we had before is so important. Yeah, we could have so much more to have fellowship about, but we don't have the time. But the Spirit will show you. Zion is not for everyone, but this is what God has chosen. In the end, you will see, in Revelation 14, you see, we're standing on Mount Zion together with the Lamb before the throne of God. That's the ultimate goal, Zion. And Jerusalem is a holy city, not a big city, but a holy city. In Revelation 21, holy. Zion, yeah, these two names we should not forget anymore. Zion, the city of the living King, the great King. And Jerusalem, the city of peace. Holy and a kingdom. Praise the Lord. It's not only a house, but it is a kingdom. The Lord will reign over the whole earth. Today in Zion, when the Lord cannot even rule in your life and in my life, how can we rule with the Lord over the nations? If today I'm not ready to let the Lord rule, then how can I rule together with Him when the kingdom comes? And then in the church life, what do you think? What is the church life for you? So may the Lord have mercy on us. We have to learn a lot, many things to do, but we don't have much time. I hope that we all learn. Not only to have a conference and then we forget. Amen. So time is up. We need more time to speak about Zion. So you have to really dig into this word. A wonderful holy mountain. I tell you, Psalm 99, the Lord is great. God is holy in Zion. We have to realize that. That three times, four times, it says that. Psalm 99, God is holy in Zion. God is great in Zion. And in Zion, because it is a kingdom. It is righteous. God is the church. The law of God is there. Why did God give the people of Israel the commandments? Why do they need it? Because it is a kingdom. A kingdom without a constitution is not a kingdom. Because everyone will do whatever he wants. So we have commandments in the Word. So you should keep it. Keep the commandments of the Lord. Then we can build up Zion together. Then we will be a holy nation. It is not so easy to be a holy nation. Everything is so unholy. The whole world is unholy. And we also. And therefore we have to be the complete opposite. The more unholy they are, the more holy we have to be. And not we should not be like these people out there. Sometimes if we look at ourselves, we are really poor, like a mouse in the church, like the chairman said. So praise the Lord. We are a special people, separated, holy. People of His own. So, do you think God wants an unholy people? So, and if we are unholy, how can we proclaim the praises of Him to all the nations? If the new ones, the students, the seeking ones, come to Fying and to Zurich, what do they see? To Pforzheim, to the churches, to Zion. They are invited by the heavenly Jerusalem. So are we really heavenly or are we earthly? The name is not good enough. They should see a holy and wonderful heavenly Zion, the city of the living God. And remember, God is the judge of all there. Peter said, God is the judge. And the judgment starts at the house of God. And who is the judge? God. God is the judge. Even our Lord Jesus Christ didn't judge. But you are so quick to judge. Sometimes even the sisters judge more than the brothers. Unfortunately, it's like that. Let us repent. Let us learn. Let us turn around so that Zion would be built up. It's not about you personally or me personally. How many times I asked the Lord, Lord, keep me not because of my will, but because of the others. Not because of my sake, but because of the sake of the others. So may the Lord have mercy on us. Amen. See you tomorrow night. Time runs fast. Praise the Lord.